If you've been outside in the last few weeks, and hopefully that means all of you, it's hard not to notice the swarms of attacking mosquitoes, the creepy buzzing in the ears, the itchy welts, the inordinate blood loss. They all seem particularly bad this spring, and here to tell us just how bad the mosquitoes are and why is Ned Walker. He's an MSU entomology professor and an expert on the dastardly mosquito. Welcome, Ned.
Welcome. Good morning.
It's not often I dust off dastardly, but I think in this case it is warranted.
It's warranted.
In 2013. Put this in some perspective for us. Why does 2013 seem so intense so far?
We have a very large population of one species of mosquito that we refer to as a floodplain mosquito.
Okay.
And people will recall that this spring, especially March and April, were heavy spring rains that caused floodplains to become inundated with water. And this particular species of mosquito lays its eggs in floodplain areas, and those eggs live for years without hatching. And in springs when we have heavy rainfall, the floodplains will become full of water and rise up to the egg horizon where those eggs happen to be distributed. They'll hatch. The larval stages of the mosquitoes grow in the floodplain waters, and then they hatch out as adult mosquitoes. The last time we saw this happen and the kind of numbers we're seeing now was 1994. So it's cyclical, and you can even have a decade or more of time between these events. And this happens to be a year when that kind of weather combined with the biology of this particular floodplain mosquito together have created these hordes of biting mosquitoes right now.
We seem to be going through regular periods of very dry weather, though, as well. And it doesn't seem to have any impact on the mosquito population. Doesn't drought or semi-drought conditions have any impact on the mosquito population?
Well, I think actually it does. We should ordinarily, and I'm starting to think there is no such thing as an average year based on the kind of patterns we have like this year. But last year, people will recall that March was a very warm and dry year in 2012. And that actually eliminated a crop of spring mosquitoes that we would ordinarily have seen last year. And that's even rebounded into this year. Probably there are a group of mosquitoes we call our spring mosquitoes. They're one generation a year. They're associated with melting snow and spring rains that form woodland pools that are temporary. And those mosquitoes did not materialize too much last year because of that really unusually warm March. And then this year, they're also missing. We're not really seeing those at all.
So those are a different species from the floodplain mosquitoes?
They are. They have a similar kind of lifestyle in that they appear in the spring as our first large brood of biting mosquitoes. But the floodplain mosquitoes are the ones that are specifically associated with river and stream floodplains, and their eggs are there. The others are in woodland pools not associated with rivers and streams.
Well, in a suburban setting, though, would that be the floodplain mosquito, most likely?
Right.
Okay. How many different types of mosquitoes are there in Michigan?
There are 60 different species of mosquitoes in Michigan, and I tend to group them into categories based on their life histories, and that can boil down to five major groups. And one of them is the spring cohort of mosquitoes that I've been describing that are all associated with, as the snow melts and forms pools of water in low-lying woodland areas. And then they have typically one generation a year. And then we have summer floodwater mosquitoes. And those start to appear as our summer cycle of rain and drying out appears. And their eggs are in low-lying grassy areas like meadows, wet meadows, roadside ditches, and you can have many generations of those through the summer. And those are the two major groups of nuisance mosquitoes.
How many of these 60 species, though, how many of these bite?
All but one. We have one species that doesn't bite at all. And interestingly, another one bites only bullfrogs. So there's a lot of variation. We have some that only bite birds, and then we have quite a few that will bite mammals and, of course, including humans, and those are our pest mosquitoes.
Which ones are responsible for the West Nile virus?
Interesting question. The ones that are out right now are not responsible for that at all. That virus is carried by a mosquito that's associated with our wastewater and storm rainwater retention and catchment systems. Also, it's found in places like abandoned swimming pools, which is a big issue lately because of the economic conditions. So it's a mosquito that as a larva lives in really man-made water conditions, and that peaks in abundance in populations in July, August, and September. So our West Nile risk goes up really much later in the summer, and it's low now.
Mm. Does mosquito abatement on a town or a city level work generally?
Actually, it works very well. We have county level mosquito programs in Michigan in the Saginaw Bay area, and then there are quite a few township level programs, and they're funded by local millages. And they suppress the mosquito populations through really integrated approaches. It would be incorrect to assume they're just spray programs because they involve trapping and monitoring and all kinds of sophisticated approaches.
Here in the Lansing area?
Lansing area, we don't have programs, although people can certainly, just to give you an example, and a lot of phone calls come in this time of year across my desk and others, but people ask this if they're going to have a graduation party in their backyard and the mosquitoes are just too thick to have a good time, you can contract with a pest control operator or a company. They can come in and give a treatment that'll last, you know, a day or two.
There's a lot of commercial businesses that have grown up that spray.
There are, yes.
What are some of the best ways that we can protect ourselves against mosquitoes and get rid of them?
Well, you know, community-wide programs really are effective, but organizing those and moving through the combination of funding and politics is an interesting process that a lot of communities aren't able to do. Separate from that, the homeowner can take individual actions or neighborhoods. And then, of course, there's personal protection, which involves use of repellents. Also, mosquitoes are invasive into homes. For example, the mosquito that's out, this floodplain mosquito, will readily come indoors to bite. And if you leave your back door propped open to let your dog run in and out,
that
or whatever.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
That is the worst in our house. There's those moments after it's dark when you let the dog out or you got to go out in the garage. That is just almost suicidal.
Yeah, even that, and you're just that temporary moment when you've got the door propped open a bit and you're calling your dog to come in or, you know, or whatever, you're barbecuing and the mosquitoes come in very quickly and then you've got them indoors.
Yeah.
So you want to try to, you know, keep your screens repaired and all of that and try to keep barriers up so that mosquitoes can't come in and get you.
You shared the neatest story of how you got into this. Tell our listeners that.
Well, we bug people, you know, have interesting histories, I guess. I collected an Io moth under a streetlight in my hometown in Ohio when I was 12, and that got me hooked. Later, when I was in college, I knocked on a professor's door and I just sort of peeked in there and said, you know, I'm interested in insects. And within 10 minutes, he was offering me a job in his lab. And that, you know, that little gesture of kindness.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Knocked on a guy's door and 10 minutes later had a job.
Yeah, that was it.
I have to say, I was telling our guest here that one of my fondest academic memories was the insect collection that we were required to have as a 10th grader in my biology class. That has stayed with me for so many years. It was just the neatest experience. It was an opportunity to get outside, but it was an opportunity to really explore the diversity in the insect world. It's really mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is. I mean, there are more kinds of insects, different species, than any other organism. And it might sound like a highly specialized discipline, but actually it's not from that point of view. And, of course, the aesthetics of insects, very appealing. We like to try to emphasize the positive side of insects. We've been talking about mosquitoes, which people typically would have a negative view. But, of course, insects do our pollination for us. They make honey for us. They do all kinds of important things. There are a lot of insects that are damaging, but many of them are either just beautiful to look at or are important in certain ways.
There's also a very curious insects as food movement that has sprung up. Tell us about that.
There is, and of course it's, the gut reaction is what? But many cultures actually eat insects, and if you, you know, like I have, you travel in the tropics and you go to local markets and you'll see insects available for sale for food. And I travel to Africa routinely, and people commonly eat termites, for example, and they're not harmful to eat, and they're a great source of protein. The idea that we could supplement our own diets through use of insects as a protein dietary supplement is an interesting one, and there's also a sort of a fad associated with insects and food, and you can, they're edible.
It is a big cicada year out east, but that apparently is not going to be a problem here in the Midwest?
No, we're not going to see a huge cicada population this year. This is, the cycles vary from region to region, and you're right, and I think it's the sort of the mid-Atlantic states, isn't it, where they're going to see the large
outbreak.
That's
what I've heard.
Yeah, and that'll come about, and it has to do with the very long life cycles of these periodic cicadas, which is fascinating, 14-year cycles and 17-year cycles. Mm-hmm. We have them here as well, but this year is not going to be one of our peak years.
Ned Walker is an MSU professor of entomology and a mosquito expert. Ned, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.